Welcome to the Learning Exchange, where L&D and HR professionals can dig deep into the ever-changing landscape of online learning and talent development. Each episode, we'll explore innovations in learning and discuss best practices with special guests from inside and outside the learning world. L&D is evolving, and the Learning Exchange is here to help you keep pace.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another installment of the Learning Exchange. It is 2021, and I am really, really excited about the innovation, about the opportunities for really, really cool things to happen in the space of learning and development, not only in this year, but the years to come. For today's topic, I really felt compelled to talk about virtual training. Now, I'm not going to limit it to just the virtual instructor-led training. That's going to be at the root of everything. But I found myself over the last couple of days really reflecting on my digital journey in 2020. I found myself reflecting on the movement, the transformation, the disruption that happened starting in March as organizations were forced to figure out how to work in a new dynamic where we might have all been displaced remotely, figuring out how to still keep things moving forward, not just keeping the work going, keeping the lights on, but also trying to keep people motivated, keep people in a space where they're open to learning, keeping the collaboration alive, and also doing this while being mindful as the year went on last year. We started to see real evidence of online virtual meeting burnout, which means people are not paying attention. They're not really listening. They're not engaged. And if you're not engaged, you're disengaged. And if you're disengaged, there's a high likelihood you're going to start to create some distraction. So there's a lot of just impacts that can quickly be seen that we have in front of us as a challenge to address. Now, as I think about my experiences in digital transformation last year, specific to this topic, I think there's two things that I wanted to call attention to, and both of them are really centered around virtual event experiences. And I think there's something we can take away from this. Now, there were two different types of events that I was able to participate in, that I was able to contribute to over the course of 2020, once everything started to move digital. And one of those was a very traditional model. And there were several slight variations, but when I talk about this traditional kind of virtual event experience, what I'm talking about is a half day, a full day, a multi-day experience where we've really taken this in-person experience and we've just pushed it into an online venue. Typically these larger events, whether it's an all-company type conference, whether it's a manager conference, whether it's a learning conference, whether it's an accounting conference, they all have the same footprint, the same formula, which is we have a keynote or some kind of opening general session where everybody gets the same message for a period of time. And then we break out into these different tracks and different sort of lanes where we can get our own personalized content. And throughout the course of the event, whether it's a half day, a whole day, or multiple days, we're going back and forth between those two ideas. Now, there is a lot of value in changing it up and going from that everybody together into smaller, more personalized sessions. However, the challenge with this format overall is the duration. It's the experience that gets created when I look at an agenda and I see that I have 8 hours in front of me of activities. I know, and you know, that if that's what I see, and I'm in the middle of a busy thing and maybe my work schedule is more busy than I planned when I signed up to attend the event, I'm not paying attention to the event or I'm not paying attention to my work. Either way, somebody's losing and it's going to be me and it's going to be my company. If I am connected, there's a good chance I am really starting to disengage about halfway through the experience again because my brain is really just conflicted. I'm worried about the things I'm not seeing. I'm worried about the things I'm not doing, about questions that might be piling up in my inbox. And these are normal, natural things that happen even when we're physically in person. The difference is the level of engagement. When we're in person, the dynamics at play tend to really lend themselves toward recapturing a learner's engagement. If I, all of a sudden, if I'm not paying attention to something and I'm in an in-person event and I start to feel the energy in the room change and people start to really engage and you start to see this conversation erupt, I'm going to be pulled into that. And it's just, it happens because of the proximity, and it's not something you can really recreate in the digital space. And so when you think about these longer periods of learning activity, we have to be mindful of so many different things that don't necessarily apply to us on the in-person side. In last year and this year, we have a lot of workers that went remote that will remain remote. And what this means, as you may have heard on prior episodes, we mentioned we don't have access to their environment, which means we can't put up guardrails. We can't put up any sort of support structure that helps insulate the learner from outside distraction. If you're working in an office and I bring you into a physical conference room to have this training session, I have quite a bit of control. Even if we're doing it virtually, I have a little bit more control if you are physically in an office, even if it's a remote office, meaning remote from corporate headquarters, but you're still in a physical company-owned building. The mindset is a little bit different. The mindset is conditioned purely to focus on the work. When we have people working from home or from other locations that are not owned by the company, the mind can naturally wander because I'm now in my own personal environment. And while I'm here to do work during these hours, inevitably something comes up and I can't ignore. If I'm at home and my water heater explodes, I can't ignore that. If I'm physically at an office and my water heater at home explodes, I can ignore it because I don't know what happened. So right, there's little things like this that we have to consider, but then we also have to think further and make sure that we are being mindful of the online meeting burnout syndrome. We have to try and make sure we're finding ways to keep it interesting and engaging and keeping the energy alive. Otherwise, learners become disengaged in this format, and when they become disengaged, it leads to distraction, leads to kind of helping other people get distracted. And ultimately, that trends toward a loss in productivity, that trends to a lack of knowledge transfer, which means at the end of the day, what I came there to learn, I may not have learned. So we've burned a whole bunch of time and don't have much to show for it. I think all of us would say that's really not something we want people to be able to say about our learning activities. As a learning professional, it would crush me if I knew that every bit of learning that I created was perceived to offer no value to the people who were on the other end of it. So then I had an opportunity to interact with a whole other different kind of an event, in this virtual space over the course of 2020. And it was more in the latter part, late Q3, early Q4, where I started to see these events innovate. And I saw the format start to change. I saw some people doing some really fun things. And it translated, at least to me, translated to a much more impactful and engaging experience. And it's this other kind of event that I'm really finding myself being inspired by when I think about how I want to approach delivering training to a remote organization in 2021. Now, this other kind of event, I would refer to them as a sprint event or a sprint. We'll just call it a sprint event. And I think that this has a lot of value if we go from a public perspective, so kind of in professional communities, but there's also a lot to learn about how this can impact internal company activity. And the format for this other kind of event was largely familiar, just very condensed. I attended multiple events that fit this format where the duration of the entire event was no longer than 2 hours. Most of them were 90 minutes. There were one or two that made it to 2 hours. So instead of going half day or a whole day or multiple days, we're now talking 90 minutes to 120 minutes. you still had some of the same components. We want everybody together for common message. And then we want to send people to breakouts. And in the breakouts, we have a variety of different purposes. And it was this kind of rapid pace, condensed schedule combined with the elements that were worked in that really kept me more engaged than I've been in a while in meetings like this or events like this, where I'm there to kind of learn, I'm there to network, I'm there to grow, at the end of the day, I walk away from the event learning something new and being able to improve what I'm doing at work. These events, what I found is it was a marker of the type of innovation that is at our fingertips. People are looking around at all of the technology that's available and trying to figure out how can I use it for the greatest good, for the greatest benefit, for the greatest impact. How can I use the technology to really create more dynamic experiences that engage my learners completely? Now, I'm not saying that this sprint type event is going to be the kind of right size for everybody. It's not going to be the one size fits all for a whole training activity. But I think there's something to learn from it and to be inspired by, in that the thing that really stuck out to me the most wasn't just the shortened condensed format. Notable because it does address the Zoom burnout or the GoToMeeting burnout or the virtual meeting burnout. Knowing that it's a short condensed period, having the, I'll call it like the interval training kind of mindset where I go here for a bit and then I go there for a bit, helped keep it fresh. What was particularly notable that I have been inspired by personally is working in things that are bigger than the content at hand. So we're here to learn about a specific thing, a specific subject area. We want to improve our performance and our knowledge and our attitude and our behaviors around that particular content area. But in 2021, if that's the only thing we're impacting, we are really, really missing out on a lot of good beneficial impacts. In the sprint events that I attended, the experience was general session for 20 minutes, followed by something that was a little bit more informal, whether it was a kind of a round table or a panel discussion. It moves from single presenter to multiple presenter and a more informal conversation, which was a nice change of pace. Even if the conversation was extending on the same topic, it just gave me an opportunity to settle into a different place and a different energy. And then from there, going into breakouts. And now we get into smaller groups where we can tackle individual problems, individual topics. Again, the note I want to make here is that it wasn't all about the content in these particular events that I attended where I felt the most engaged. It was because we also worked in some relationship building activities. And so the format, I think, that I personally responded to the best was general everybody together session, breakout session, where we get into teams and we have our conversations about whatever our teams are, whether we're aligned on topic, we're aligned to solve a particular problem, to tackle a particular interaction. And then we come back together, we report out. So, right, that sounds familiar. That feels a lot like doing something in an in-person event where we do table teams and we report back out. Where it changed for me was then introducing additional breakouts that were focused on building relationships. So we're gonna talk about topic A for a minute, general session. We're gonna go to breakouts and talk about topic A further. We're gonna come back together and talk about what we learned, what we can take away from that. And then we're gonna go back into these smaller groups. And for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, I want all the people in each of the breakout rooms to just get to know each other. Meet somebody you haven't met, share some sentiments, some personal things that really help us connect. It helps us remain engaged. It helps us build relationships. It also helps us build a dynamic that really translates from what we're used to experiencing in an office when we can see each other, when we can feel the energy, when we can register the body language. It brings that into an online experience. The other piece to whether you prefer that more traditional approach and that fits your organization, or you prefer the more kind of sprint model, I think the other thing to really think about is make sure that you're leveraging all the potential in your tools for delivery. So it's not just take my stuff, put it in a PowerPoint, put it in a Prezi, put it in some other presentation style format and push it through a virtual delivery channel. It's also looking at the environment you're delivering in and purposefully making use of all of the tools, using any sort of reactions or interactions that are available, giving people the opportunity to raise their hand or elicit a smiley face or a clap or some other just gesture to know that they're interacting, thinking about creative ways to make use of some of the fun things that the virtual tech providers have brought to the table, like virtual backgrounds. Find creative ways to play with those things. Find creative ways to leverage filters. I know that when Zoom first released their the video filters where you can apply lipstick and eyebrows and change your hair color and change facial hair color, and you can put a little French beret on your head, all sorts of virtual masks. Right out of the gate when those things were announced, I found myself questioning the choice to release that type of feature in a virtual tool because it could really be a distraction. But what I found is if you leverage it with purpose, it can be a really huge tool for engagement. Think about making sure that you're always utilizing something like a survey or a poll, especially because we're going to be staring at a screen, whether we have our cameras on or don't have our cameras on, using those mechanisms to help people interact, engage, help them know when we need to know how they're feeling, know what they're thinking, know what their ideas are, really helps to bring things to life. Also, think about using mixed media. Find some creative opportunities to work in sound bites and video clips and animations in addition to just the text content that you might normally put in instructor-led materials or in a slideshow. At the end of the day, I think that the sentiment here is create an opportunity for you to just take some time and reflect. Reflect on your own experiences over the course of last year. Think about what you felt when you were on the other end as a participant, whether it's in team meetings, company meetings, conference events, webinars, you name it. And then think about how you can apply what you felt and use that to transform the learning experiences you're creating for others. At the end of the day, find some ways to make it fun.
Until next time, stay safe, be kind, and never stop learning.